Community Focus has been brought to you by the Crum Agency, providers of MIMIC Insurance. Their telephone number is 734-254-1976, and they are online at krummagency.com.
You're listening to the station focusing on the Plymouth-Canton community. This is Community Focus on 88.1 The Park.
Good evening and welcome to Community Focus. I'm Tushar J. Ram. On Community Focus, we talk to people of interest in the community. Our guest today is Kevin Walsh. Kevin is the executive director of the Yankee Air Museum. Today we will be speaking about Kevin's role in the museum, as well as the museum itself. Kevin, you are the executive director of the Yankee Air Museum. What drove you to pursue this position?
Well, I actually started with the Yankee Air Museum back in 1997 as a volunteer, and volunteered with the museum on all different levels, from the restoration department to being crews on going to air shows on our classic military aircraft to serving on the board of directors. It's an organization that just became kind of ingrained in, you know, everything that I did every week, and it became so much of a passion that, you know, I fulfilled a number of roles at the museum and was actually lured away by the museum from a different career to become their executive director. And I was more than happy to do that because it was such an exciting and challenging time for the museum in its development as a professional museum.
As executive director of the museum, what are your major responsibilities?
Well, the biggest thing is obviously the day-to-day functions of the museum. It sounds very simple, but to engulf all the day-to-day operations of what we do at the Yankee Air Museum, everything from the preservation, restoration, the collection of artifacts, the organization of artifacts, flight operations of our aircraft, the ride programs, it's a very complicated job, and it's a very busy job with a lot of responsibilities. But most of all, reporting to the board of directors and ensuring that the day-to-day operations of the museum run smoothly and profitable and are also growth-oriented in what we do every day to make sure that we're not stuck in a rut and that we're actually developing for the future.
What role do you believe the Yankee Air Museum plays in the community?
The museum has been around since 1981, and it's played a very important role as one of the main museums in Southeast Michigan, really the only aviation-based museum in Southeast Michigan. But as we move to our new home, and as some folks know, we were able to secure a part of the former Willow Run bomber plant, which in World War II built B-24 Liberator aircraft there. Over 8,600 of those aircraft were built at Willow Run. We secured part of that, and as we transition from the current museum as being kind of a regional museum, we're going to become the museum of national level, really. And that's, I think, where we're going to play an even more important role in the community when we become the museum of aviation technology on that national level.
Why should people visit this museum?
It's one of the rare opportunities and rare spaces in Southeast Michigan and to actually experience the aerospace history and aerospace careers. You know, when we get back to purpose of the museum right now and into the future and even more into the future, it's important for us to not only just educate people on history, but also excite the youth of America. And we're taking this as a common thread now and into the National Museum of Aviation Technology when it opens, that we have a responsibility to help excite the youth of America, to get them interested in STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics careers, and make sure that we actually are doing more than just telling history, that we're commemorating those that, you know, key influencers and visionaries in the field of aerospace and modern technology, but also letting the youth of America know that they can be the next leaders in so many different fields, and it's important for us to make sure that we present them those opportunities and make sure that they understand that the aerospace industry as a whole and even broader than that, they're able to do anything they want to do when they grow up. One of my most favorite is Fly Zone. It's an actual interactive caged-in area where students and adults like myself get to actually fly UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, inside the museum. So we actually are flying these things around inside the museum, but in kind of a batting cage enclosure. And it's absolutely fascinating to see the technology and learning about flight from these quadcopters and the challenges of taking them through a course, an actual obstacle course, an aerial obstacle course. That is by far one of the most fun and interactive exhibits we have. One of the most important exhibits, I feel, and one of the most important pieces we have is right now the the current restoration of pieces of a B-24 tail section and midsection of an actual Ford-built B-24 that was built there at Willow Run. So we have a piece of history, and to tell the story of the home front in World War II, the importance of what Detroit manufacturing, what Detroit technology and thinking did during World War II, and that we have to remember that it wasn't just used in Detroit, that the manufacturing processes were used all over the country to help win World War II. And you think of World War II and the winning of World War II on the front lines, and it certainly was that, but if they didn't have the power of the home front back home and the incredible manufacturing skill and the ability to manufacture in mass quantity, we wouldn't have been able to win the war as easily and as quickly as we did. That was part of the strategy, is that we were going to be able to outbuild our enemy, and that's exactly what we did. So as much as on the front line is about the home front and telling that story of what Southeast Michigan and Michigan as a whole did for the world, it's a very important story, and how Detroit saved the world is part of this exhibit and what we're doing now.
You're listening to Community Focus. Our guest today is Kevin Walsh, the Executive Director of the Yankee Air Museum. I've noticed that you put together a magazine. Why did you guys put together this magazine?
Well, the purpose of the magazine was fairly simple, in that as we moved to the National Museum of Aviation and Technology, we wanted to give people a feel of what the future museum is going to be like, and we wanted to do it in print before it existed in brick and mortar. And also, it gave us an opportunity to really highlight some of the unique things that we're doing at the museum in our public programming and our outreach programming. It's not just a museum where there's artifacts displayed where people can come and appreciate them. It's a very interactive museum, and it's a high-energy museum that is engaging the public, is engaging the educational system. And we wanted to make sure that people knew about that. And the magazine seemed like the perfect conduit to let people know more about the Yankee Air Museum and the future National Museum of Aviation Technology, you know, well before it does exist.
One of your premier events, the Thunder Over Michigan Air Show, will occur in a month. What is the Thunder Over Michigan Air Show, and what will happen during the show?
Well, Thunder Over Michigan has been running for 17 years. It's held at Willow Run and is one of the nation's premier air shows. And I say that with great pride, because we have over 500 volunteers that make that air show happen and make it work. And we put together a program that's unlike any other air show in the nation. This year, of course, we have highlighting and headlining the air show is the United States Navy Blue Angels. And they have not been to Southeast Michigan, to Willow Run, since 2011. So it's a rare opportunity to come back and see the best in the world at one of the best air shows in the nation. But besides the Blue Angels and the return of Air Combat Command's F-16 demo and all those, you know, all those kind of fast-moving, loud screaming jets, you know, we take a step back in time, and we make sure that we honor those that serve in the different global conflicts. This year, we're focusing very heavily on World War II, looking at the bombers. And as we've nicknamed it, Bombertown USA, we're proud to be promoting the different aircraft that served so importantly in those roles in World War II, in both the European theater and Pacific theater, and bringing victory to us. So, and then obviously honoring those that served and maintained those aircraft during that time period. So you'll see a cross section of some of the most famous World War II bombers in the world, all in one ramp, one area at Willow Run, which is pretty rare. Then on the ground, you know, one of our most popular events each year is the World War II air and ground battle reenactment, where we have a couple hundred reenactors that do a fantastic job at doing a reenactment of a World War II ground battle, which is incredibly impressive if you've never seen it.
Going back to what you said earlier, in the summer of 2017, the museum will relocate to the Willow Run Bomber Plant. What events brought about this change?
Well, really, you have to go all the way back to 2004 to understand where we're going in the future. Of course, in 2004, we had a 20,000 square foot building, a hangar and museum. That complex actually was destroyed by fire, and we lost everything, 35,000 artifacts, 8 airplanes. We were able to pull out the airplanes that flew, and that were able to, was basically our revenue generators that were able to give ride. We were able to save those. And since 2004, we've really, really have not had a permanent single home where all of our artifacts, including the flyable airplanes, are are together. Right now, the current museum was an intermittent type building to come back into being a destination point for people and visitors. From 2004 to 2010, we had to fundraise just to get a building again to actually call a museum. So when we did get the current museum building in 2010, we knew it was an intermediate step, but we were looking for that final place, that final, structure campus that could bring it all back together. And the Willow Run Bomber Plant was the key. Now, we saved 144,000 square feet of that plant of an estimated almost 5 million square feet. But that 144,000 connected to one of the airport buildings that currently exists out there will give us a full campus where visitors will be able to come and be able to see absolutely everything that we have to offer under one roof. So that was really the determining factor as to why we saved that building, not only for its importance and historical significance in the area, but also, it served us a deep and important purpose to get back all together as one collection and also provide us enough space to protect the artifacts, bring everything that's outside inside so that they'll be able to be preserved for future generations.
Another result of the move is that the museum name will change from the Yankee Air Museum to the National Museum of Aviation and Technology. Why do you think this change was necessary?
The name change was critical, and the reason behind the name change was to reflect the stories and the type of programming and the type of exhibitry that you're going to see. It's no longer focused on just military. We are going to obviously still have a strong military presence in the new museum. However, to not look at the technologies behind aerospace industry advancements and look at the developments from all aspects of aerospace, it's kind of short-sighted to not do that when you're moving into a bigger structure and you'll be able to display more and tell more stories. And then the other part, the big part, is that we aren't going to just focus on, just the history of the aircraft or just the history of our veterans, but we're also going to focus on the technology. And this brings us back to exciting the youth of America and getting them involved and get them excited about STEM careers, but by using history as examples of the advancements that, the current youth of America, the differences they can make following their educational path. And that's probably one of the most important things in the name reflection, is that it's aviation and technology, that it's not the National Museum of Aviation. That it's important that in technology part, that we understand that we're going to tell a broader story. But for everything that you've always loved about the Yankee Air Museum, it's still going to be there. We've just got even more storylines to tell. And really, if we kept the name Yankee Air Museum, it would not have served the purpose to reflect truly what we're about to do and what we are actually currently doing now. When people think of Yankee Air Museum, they don't think of UAVs, kids being able to fly UAVs inside a museum. That's just not something you think about. The standard imagery that comes to mind is artifacts and airplanes and, incredible displays like that. But as we branch out and celebrate technology and advancements and the people who are behind those technology and advancements, that's where we had to go, and we had to make sure the name reflected it appropriately.
You've been listening to Community Focus. Our guest has been Kevin Walsh. Kevin is the executive director of the Yankee Air Museum. You can listen to Community Focus on Wednesdays at 5:45 p.m. on 881 The Park, as well as on our website, 881thepark.com.
Community Focus has been brought to you by the Crum Agency, providers of MIMIC insurance. Their telephone number is 734-254-1976, and they are online at krummagency.com.